We're all hoping that b'siyata d'shmaya, the vaccines and the vaccination program will bring an end to this horrific pandemic. As is true with everything in life, it's not something to be taken for granted, not just as a matter of principle and faith that a person shouldn't take anything for granted, but even b'derech hateva, it's not something to be taken for granted. The vaccination program has to move faster than, Rachmana Litzlan, the mutations, and in order for that to happen. So God Helfen, that is what's going to happen. The prospect, Be'ezras Hashem, of the pandemic finally coming to a close, paradoxically, is something that should generate within us a sense of urgency. Right? Ordinarily, I think if we were to be asked what's one's association with the prospect of the end of the pandemic, so we would say relief, respite. And certainly those are natural and correct reactions. But religiously and spiritually, the prospect, halavai that the prospect is going to materialize, b'karov, the prospect of the pandemic coming to a close should instill within us a sense of urgency. And that sense of urgency is because it should be unthinkable. And unthinkable because it's intolerable that when the pandemic ends, Be'ezus Hashem Bekarov, that we simply resume our lives the way they were before. Now that we no longer have the disruption, of the pandemic. It can't be in the sense of losucha loses alacha ishnachri, meaning that it shouldn't be. It can't be that after a catastrophe of this magnitude, that we just pick up our lives and resume life as if nothing happened. The glitch has been fixed. There's no longer disruption. So we can have our old habits, our old way of life. It should be unthinkable. And that's why there should be a sense of urgency. Because halavai that it's the case that the clock is ticking. Halavai that it's the case that if not the days or weeks, at least the months are numbered for how much longer the pandemic lasts. And we have to be in a different place when that day arrives. Now, I apologize for something I too often do for projecting, but I know I'm not in that place yet. And that's why there is a sense of urgency. It's crucial that we understand, in the words of Hillel, im eina ni li mi li. As Rabbeinu Yonah elaborates, im ha'odam lo ya'over atzmo, is ma yo iluhu anything else? no matter what the impetus is, no matter what happens externally, nothing automatically creates internal change within a person individually, within a community collectively. The most staggering proof to that. Oh, open up a Rambam Perek Aleph Hilchos Avodah Zarah. You're familiar with the Rambam. The Rambam traces the history of Avodah Zarah, the development of Avodah Zarah, Bimei Enosh, the Tos that was made, B'daitom HaRo'ah, the Rambam says, and Avodah Zarah was introduced into the world. The Rambam traces the evolution, the development of Avodah Zarah into its crude polytheistic form that it ultimately took. And the Rambam describes what the downward trajectory was from the days of Enosh, Adam Sheis Enosh, from the days of Enosh till Avraham Avinu. And then Avraham Avinu, Kevin Shenigmal Eitan Zeh, Hischa L'Shotei B'dayto, and Avraham Avinu discovers HaKadosh Baruch Hu and then disseminates the belief in Hashem Echad into the world. There's something extraordinary in what the Rambam doesn't say. If we didn't have a Chumash, a Sefer Yeshayahu, and all we had was the Rambam, we wouldn't know there had been a marble. The trajectory that the Rambam describes, that downward spiral from the initial, relatively speaking, sophisticated type of Avodah Zarah, where they were still on one level really monotheists. It's just that they were directing acts of worship towards Dvarim HaNivroim, even though they weren't ascribing discretionary divine powers. The downward spiral from that to the crude polytheism, which marked the society in which Avram and the home in which Avram Avinu grew up, was uninterrupted by the marble. The marble. The whole world was destroyed. And yet, Chum and Mrs. Chum, Yefes and Mrs. Yefes, went into the Teva, spent a year in the Teva, Ashnas HaChama, spent a year in the Teva, came out of the Teva, the same people. And because of that, the Mabul, the whole world being destroyed, not just over 400,000 people in a country, which is already beyond what the mind can process. The Mabul didn't press a reset button. The trajectory was continuous. If you plot it on a graph, there was no spike. And then another Yerida? No, it's just continuous descent, negative slope for the line. Nothing changes us automatically. It doesn't matter what the impetus is. It doesn't matter how catastrophic the external events are. Doesn't matter what the magnitude of the earthquake is, maybe literally, maybe figuratively. Doesn't matter what the magnitude is. Im ein ani li mi li, says Hillel. If I don't spiritually, in a proactive way, take responsibility, take ownership of this, that there needs to be change, religious, spiritual change, there won't be change. A person can walk into the teva and walk out of the teva the same person. A person can be blessed to survive a pandemic. A community can be blessed despite indescribable losses. But on a communal scale, to emerge from a pandemic, and it's not automatically going to be different. By default, it will be the same. By default, each of us will be the same. The same shortcomings, the same deficiencies, the same inadequacies. And by default, the same will be true on a communal level. And for that reason, as we daven, and as we hope, again, that whatever the correct units are, apparently months, that the months are numbered in terms of how many are left until the end of this horrific pandemic, there should be a sense of urgency. Because when that day comes, we need to be in a different place. Because if it hasn't happened by then, it's less likely, far less likely, to happen subsequently. Individually, so each of us needs to ask the question for himself and answer the question for himself. K'shem she'tzpirtzufeim shonos, k'ach de'aseim shonos. Maya voda isn't your avoda isn't my avoda. You're talking that they overlap. But everyone needs to ask and answer the question for himself individually. But the question needs to be asked and answered communally as well. I don't think it's a one-part answer. It's in all likelihood, a multi-part answer. But maybe for tonight, we'll just discuss one part, not necessarily making any judgments as to whether it's the most important part, but a part of the answer. And again, this communal reckoning, this communal introspection, talking about our community, community B'nai Torah. Sincerely committed. One of the Achilles heels communally of our Torah lifestyle, of our Torah observance, is shitchius, superficiality. Superficiality is not only in quotation marks, a chesaron because of the lack of depth, but represents a danger. You know, there is a very nice story. Rav Zevin records it in his Ishim V'Shitas. The Reb Chaim was once challenged somewhat skeptically by someone about what's with all these chilukim and all these distinctions. And with the insinuation being that there was something artificial about it. And Reb Chaim Kadarko responded immediately and said, you know, that the Rishonim say, that the Mishnah says at the end of the second parak in Kiddushin, that if he makadish be Yisui HaNoah, so enim makadashis. He didn't give a shavuot. So the Rishonim of Akasha, but let's say a man was makadish in Isha with Orla. So the din of Orla, at least all the Eretz Yisrael, all the Chutz Lametz is a question, but at least all the Eretz Yisrael, the din is that it's menan nisrafin, you're supposed to burn it. And the din is, the Mishnah says in Tmura, that kol nisrafin is afron mutter. If you have Isuri Hanoah, where the mitzvah is to burn it, once you burn it and you reduce it to Efer, to ashes, so the ashes are now mutter bahanoah. So the Rishonim have a kasha. So let's say he takes a whole, the man takes a whole pile of orla, mamish, bushels and bushels of orla fruit, such that if you would burn it, ba'afron, you'd have a shavah pruta. So she should be mukadashas. It's a question of the Rishonim. One of the responses in the Rishonim, there are some Rishonim saying the Chananim. One of the answers in the Rishonim is no. Afron is mutter, but the Efer is uponim chadoshos ba'olachan. The Efer doesn't exist. He's giving her orla. Orla is also ba'anoah. Orla is not a shavuot. No matter how many bushels of orla you pile up, it's not a shavuot. After it's burnt. Okay, so after it's burnt and it's upon him chadoshos and it's a new metzias, a metzias that doesn't exist now, einach nami, in that metzias, you'll have a shavuot pruta. But the efer is upon him chadoshos. That's the lashon rishon, upon him chadoshos baruch. So says Reb Chaim to this skeptic, he says, so I don't understand, he says, when you make upon him chadoshos, when you make a shavuot baruchos, the din is that in order to say shavuot baruchos, you need upon him chadoshos. So it's always a big, whenever you're arranging a Shavuot Baruch, you have to worry is who's going to be the Panim Chadoshos and what if he doesn't show up? So we should have, so Chaim said, no, just simple. Burn some Yisui HaNoah, bring the Efer, and you'll have Panim Chadoshos and you can say Shavuot Baruch. So Chaim says, Ella Mai? No. Panim Chadoshos means two different things in two different contexts. So the story is cute, but it's a mistake to think of it only in those terms. It humorously highlights a very real and serious issue. Which is that shitchias, superficiality, can result in distortion. Shitchias, superficiality, can result in taking something that's important, even very important, but attaching disproportionate importance to it. Shitchius can mean that you have something which is important, very, very important, but with shitchius, one can exaggerate even that. Because when we see things on the surface level, it says Panim Chadoshos here, it says Panim Chadoshos here. When we see things on the surface level, So you don't see things in their true dimensions. When there's shidchiyus, you can take something which is an ikke godol ma'od, and yet allow that to eclipse something which is an ikar ha'ikar. One of the Achilles heels today is shidchiyus. Talmud Torah is Keneged Kulam. The world exists for Havel Pihen Shel Tinoko Shel Beisrael. It's almost, but underline and underscore that word almost. Almost impossible to exaggerate the Cheshivas of Talmud Torah. But the key operative word is almost. With shidchiyus, one can. Talmud Torah doesn't justify making a chilul Hashem. Nothing justifies making a chilul Hashem. Nothing justifies making a chilul Hashem. Nothing. Talmud Torah is very, very important. Almost impossible to exaggerate. Havel Pihen Shel Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban is very, very important. Almost impossible to exaggerate. But with enough shidchiyus, it's possible to exaggerate. There are obviously other factors, which is why the answer to the question we posed is a multi-part answer. But we're talking about one part of the answer, one element, one component. And we know of, you know, we can all think of plenty of examples of where long before the pandemic, we were all aware of shidchiyus, of superficiality. One of the examples that we mentioned in terms of mistakes that inevitably ensue because of shidchiyus. And there are obviously, you know, different forms of shidchiyus, you know, more crude forms and then more subtle forms. The next example is a more subtle form. Let's say a person needs to decide, I don't know, what community is newly married a couple of years, at the stage where a person needs to decide what community to live in, what type of community to move to. Maybe he's a little bit further along the path of life, and the question, which is Omer al Perek, what yeshivas to send his children to. And he sees a yeshiva. There's a tremendous avas Torah. So there's a passion. You feel a passion in the ear. looks into a yeshiva, sees, I don't know, every year in high school, they make a siyum and a big masechta, and they really know it. They didn't just turn the pages. They really know it. They really have a tfisa. And right away, it's a no-brainer. Well, that's why I want to send my children. Are these things ikorim gedolim? Absolutely. Ikorim gedolim. Rashi says the pshat in v'harim na'ashem alukenu is that we should learn ba'ahava. Mo'a hafti sarasachu kol ayom yisichase. Ava's Torah is an ikorim. But the Ava's Torah is only worth as much as the authenticity of the Torah. And the question is one subtle expression of Shetchiyas do we focus on Ikorim Gedolim, which is laudable, but ignore Ikore Ikorim, which is not laudable? There are Ikorim, but there are also Ikore Ikorim. The Avos Torah is gewaldig. The Siyum on the Sechtas, the Siyumim, V'chol Chafotzecha lo Yashvu Bo. Ein L'Shaer. But if at some point part of that package involves distortion of Ikore Ikorim, and we're not honed, we're not zeroing in on that, that's also, albeit subtle, a subtle form of Shetchiyas. What are some of the Ikore Ikorim? The Chaim Vital explains, the Sfarim quote this. Nigla Dika Sfarim quote what Reb Chaim Vital writes. That the reason, according to his understanding, that there are no mitzvahs in the Torah that deal with midos, despite the fact that midos are so fundamental, there's no lav in the Torah, Reb Chaim Vital says, not to get angry. Most monei mitzvahs, let's leave the smog aside for the moment, don't have in minyan mitzvahs a love of gaiva. So says Reb Chaim Vital, how can that be? Hayitochein. The Mamari Chazal, which talk about the gnus of the midos rose and the importance of the midos tovos, and yet it's not, I don't know, we have a mitzvah to take a lulav, but an iser to eat an avela, but so Moshe Lamadov Adoma for what Reb Chaim Vital says, let's say you open a course catalog of a medical school, and you look and you see, oh, no basic biology here, no basic chemistry. So apparently, neither biology nor chemistry is that relevant or important for for a career as a doctor. Okay, maybe it's Amidas Chasidus to study a little biology. Maybe it's Amidas Chasidus to study a little chemistry. But Hadvarim Mochichem, that it obviously isn't crucial because it's not in the kettle. The mistake, obviously, is it's so crucial, it's so pivotal, that it's the sine qua non for going to medical school. They don't look at your application unless you already know basic biology and basic chemistry. That's what Chaim Vital says about Midos. He says the Torah builds us. It builds a person. The Midos Tovos are the foundation. There are Ikorim and there are Ikorim. What's another Ikorim? Not just an Ikar, but an Ikorim. Something which is so fundamental and foundational that without it, the Ikorim are undermined. Within Yadus, within Torah, there needs to be balance. Kohelet says, Al di tzadik harbe. Ribono Shalom says, Iyatem rachmonim yosem imeni, Chazal say. There needs to be balance. Person has to know how to balance. And the same way within the functioning of the body, when that balance is disrupted, the very minute that balance is disrupted, so the exquisite, wonderful functioning of the body is totally undermined. Just one sickness after another, one problem after another. The same is true in religious and spiritual life. There has to be balance. There has to be balance between the spiritual and the physical. There has to be balance within Mitzvah HaTorah. To know which mitzvah applies when. When there's no balance, Torah is easily distorted. And when Torah is distorted, Chilul Hashem is the result. There's balance between physical and spiritual. There's balance between when we look at a person. Person's not all good, not all bad. Take the good, leave the bad. When you look at society around us, doesn't matter what the percentages are. But the bad needs to be filtered out, and the good needs to be recognized. There has to be balance. It doesn't mean, for instance, in those examples, that any person I look at, that the balance is 50-50. No, the balance is in appreciating and acknowledging the good and recognizing the other for what it is and having the correct attitude towards that. And the same is true to the outside world, towards information, towards knowledge which comes from the outside world. There's obviously an awful lot that needs to be rejected. There's obviously an awful lot that needs to be filtered out. But even if it's 99%, it's a dangerous imbalance to throw out 100%. I don't know what the exact percentage is, but you, the Olam understands the point. To have a balance, which is necessary for Torah to be lived and projected authentically, is not an ikar, it's an ikar shebeikar. Because otherwise, when there's imbalance, when there's wholesale, indiscriminate rejection, when there should be discriminate rejection and filtering, when there's exaggerated importance instead of the very great importance which it should have, so Torah gets distorted, and terrible things can be done in the name of Torah. And one of the causes, again, the question we posed ourselves, has a multi-part answer, and this is one part, but kimaduma that it is one part. When we look for what community we're going to live in, when we look to what most of us, to where to enroll our children, we certainly should be very cognizant of Ikorim, but we shouldn't be shitchiistic and see the Ikorim and be mindless of the Ikorim. So there should be a sense of urgency. The same Hillel who said, "Im eina nili mili," also concludes with, "Im lo achsha ve'mosai." And Hillel's words are words that always, but maybe even more so now, resonate and should resonate very much. A good Shabbos for both. Everyone should be well, be safe.